Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Tuesday, July 10th. How's everybody doing? Happy Tuesday to you all. We are just starting that work week, last week of the first half of the baseball season. Happy to talk to you. We are a week away from the potentially worst week in sports. And it'll be even worse this year because you have no soccer. The World Cup ends on the 15th. You'll have no baseball. It will basically be a complete just sort of, we'll see. This is where the squatting on takes section of the Daily Tap, where I have like a litany of things to talk about, that's probably where it'll be. We're going to have some fun. The Daily Tap is going to be so fun the week that we have basically nothing. It's going to be great, guys. I'm telling you right now, we are going to have so much fun. And if you like having fun like I do, you know you can follow us, NoTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever your bag is. We appreciate them all. You want to give us a rating, you want to give us a review on iTunes or Google Play, much appreciated. We're going to try to get you on Spotify and Art19. I know I've said that here and there. Guys, I'm busy. I got shit going on that isn't SnowTap. If I only had SnowTap to do, I would be, you know, flying. We'd have that all set up. I did set something up yesterday that we're going to debut in a couple weeks, and I'm really excited for it, and I really think you guys will be too. More to come on that, though, in the near future. I did want to mention, before we get started here, I just saw on my news break as I'm taping on my phone, the Thai soccer team with their coach, everybody's been rescued. Absolutely amazing, incredible will, incredible resilience. Kudos to everybody there, and just an amazing story. We're gonna have some amazing things that we're gonna hear about how you keep fighting. You don't give up, and that I think can be applied to so many things in our life. So did want to mention that before I got going here today, since I literally just broke as I'm taping this podcast. All right, so I did want to talk a little bit about Josh Hader. I feel like Josh Hader has been one of the, I wouldn't say hot topics, but he's been one of the topics that I feel like we have a conversation about at least, I don't know, once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks, about just kind of the player, just management, and just what it is. I think at one point I called out Craig Counsell for a mismanagement of Josh Hader. You can go back and listen to that podcast. But finally, Craig Counsell, I think, sort of addressed the haters, if you will, on Saturday after Hader didn't get used in a game where the Brewers trailed 2-1. Counsell basically said, well, he can't go out there every night. We like to use him if we're leading or at worst we're tied. And that's really only when we're going to use Josh Hader, is kind of the line he drew in the sand. Well, Josh Hader was kind of put on ice then for the entire Braves series. He did not face Atlanta once. The Braves completely missed Josh Hader, which is crazy to think about considering they have Ozzie Albies, Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis. Freeman and Markakis are two of the best left-handed hitters in baseball. So, but he missed that series. He just did not play. So the Brewers brought him out against Miami. It was a 2-1 game. Hader came in the seventh. He got squeezed by Brian Gorman, the home plate umpire, against Starlin Castro, and something that was clearly a strike. Castro then turns around and hits a home run. Brian Anderson, not the Fox Sports Wisconsin and the GOAT of sports broadcasting, the Miami Marlins player, then belted a home run right after him to give Miami a lead. Brewers would come back to tie it, and then they'd lose it in the 10th on a base hit by Brian Holiday. Shitty loss, but where we're here to talk about is Josh Hader. So I think there was some criticism of Craig Counsell, and you know, Brewers Twitter, I think, was a little incensed that the Brewers lost this game. It kind of shows you that the Brewers are getting good, right? When Twitter just completely loses their shit because they lost the game to the Marlins. I mean, granted, you do not want to limp into the playoffs, but you're going to have weird series where, you know, Miami might take 2 or 3, or you may, you know, I don't think you're going to get swept by Miami, but you could lose like 3 or 4 or, you know, 4 or 5 to Pittsburgh this weekend. I hope not. But like, that type of shit's going to happen. You're not going to be perfect the whole year. That has to be addressed. But I do think it's fair to sort of start wondering about when Josh Hader needs to get like that routine started, even if it is a sort of meaningless outing. And I know that Craig Counsell wants to manage his innings. I fully understand that. I get why this is so hard. I think Craig Counsell battles with this on a regular basis. I think Counsell would rather have Hader out there on just days to keep him warm. But it's like, you know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you use Hader yesterday, and they were up 6-1 at one point, they extended that lead, and then it's like, well, why are you using Josh Hader in a blowout? That's what they would say. If the Brewers, you know, used him on Saturday and they lost, well, why did you use Josh Hader? It didn't help. It didn't matter. The Brewers didn't come back. They lost 2-1. It was irrelevant. Why was Hader out there? But then you don't use him. You put him on ice and he gives up 2 runs. And it's like, well, Josh Hader was rusty. So it's like, Craig Counsell is in a no-win situation with Josh Hader. Maybe that's something that I've gotten accustomed to, because I got feedback from our boy Eric, it's the Snowtaps tweet army, when I kind of lashed out. I beaked Counsell a little bit about I think that he needed to pitch Hader, but Eric brought up a good point. It's like, you can't do it all the time, and it was basically in line with what Counsell was saying. And I think that's going to be the tricky thing, man. It's going to be something that we're going to have to watch all year. And I do think, though, you can't, like, I understand what Counsell's saying about you're not going to be able to bring him in. You don't want to bring him in games where you're losing and struggling. But it's like, man, there's going to be some times in September and some times in October where you're going to need to bridge that gap. Unless you get a pitcher that can eat innings and that you're confident in, that has hater-like ability. I mean, in a way, that's Jeremy Jeffries, who, by the way, deserves to be an all-star. But, you know, it's... So I guess that's your guy. That's your answer for your everyday sort of pitcher. But I don't know. Maybe the Brewers do need a little bullpen help. Maybe they do need another guy out of that pen that's just a reliable arm. I'm not saying they need to break the bank for it. But if he's a throw-in in a deal for somebody else, like, maybe that is a route worth exploring. So it's interesting. It really is. I don't think there's a right answer. I don't think there is a absolute solve for this Josh Hader thing. He's just very valuable to the team, but you don't want to overwork him, because if his arm is dead in September, as we said a lot this weekend on the podcast and off the podcast, your ass is fully in the jackpot. There is nothing you can do about that. There is literally nothing you can do. You are screwed. And that can't happen with the Brewers chasing a pennant, and you just can't have that happen. All right, moving on to, I guess, I don't know if it'll be a daily segment, but Brewers trade talk. So you have the Milwaukee Brewers still involved, obviously, with the Manny Machado stuff. We talked about the Manny Machado stuff on the blog and on the podcast yesterday. The only real Machado news, I guess the Machado tracker, Machado watch. I don't know. Machado, like, when you put watch at the end of things, it's kind of like when, like, in politics and in other things, you put gate at the end of it. I feel like it's just universal and it's used so much that it's almost overused. So maybe, yes, but for now, because it's early in the morning and I've only had a cup and a sip of coffee, it is Machado watch, brought to you by, I don't know, Bobby should tell me his beer name of his one of his distributors. We'll get that hooked up. Bobby, obviously, our loyal Snow Tap listener in the Baltimore area, noted brewer fan, noted bobblehead enthusiast. So here's the thing. Machado, I guess, first of all, the Orioles are like, well, we'll maybe include Zach Britton into things to enhance the deal. So that would obviously interest a team like the Dodgers, a team like the Yankees. The Brewers, I don't know if they have that interest just because they have a pretty damn good bullpen. And so the Orioles are trying to get a little more out of these teams. Now, if I were the Orioles, I would just trade Machado as a rental, and then I would try to get as much as I can for Britton in a completely other deal. That's just me, though. You know, they obviously are seeing it differently. Machado has also said, I'm a shortstop. I'm only playing shortstop. Basically saying, I am not moving to third base if I get traded to another team, aka the New York Yankees. The Yankees have sort of said that they are interested. They want to put themselves into the race. They obviously have a shortstop covered up. Machado would play third and so who knows what that does mean for that team. And I don't know if the Yankees want to take that risk. That's an interesting risk for New York to take and have an unhappy Manny Machado right from the go and maybe clear out that shortstop position for him next season. As he has talked about his desire to play for the Yankees. So obviously the Yankees trading him, you know, if I'm the Orioles, I don't know if I can do that just from you could, but I feel like you have to ask for more. If the Yankees are the one you're involved with, you have to put the Yankees to the fire saying, look, guys, you're in our division. I don't know if they go to Baltimore after the All-Star break, but if you do, we're going to need to like figure out a way to like not have this look like a complete meltdown with Machado and Pinstripes, a team that most Oriole fans hate. Like, I feel like if he gets dealt to the Yankees, you have to ask for a premier offer that is above and beyond what the Brewers could offer, above and beyond what the Dodgers could offer, Phillies, you know, the whole thing. So we'll see there. The other report we had Brewer trade-wise was that the Brewers are casting a wide net for starting pitching, catching, second base, and shortstop, that according to Robert Murray. So that brings up a guy like Whit Merrifield, who, according to Murray as well, they're enamored with. Jed Lowry, I think, is another interesting trade target. I actually don't know if Oakland's going to be a seller, though, because Oakland's only 6.5 games back right now. And Oakland can definitely catch the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners are, while they're good, the Mariners have been very good in one-run ball games this year. It's not sustainable. It's a lot. The Mariners are the West Coast version of the 2014 Brewers, where they just kept winning games in very unique, like, very close fashion. And so I would not be surprised in the slightest if the Mariners regress a little bit. Dave Schoenfield made that case on ESPN today. And I think he's right. I don't think Oakland is going to trade Jed Lowry. I'd be very surprised if Oakland traded Jed Lowry, but we'll see. I think Jed Lowry is obviously a target. One guy I do not think is a target who the Brewers may see, may not. He's on paternity leave. I don't know how long that is for baseball. Every sport's different. But JT Realmuto, I do not see as a possibility for the Brewers at catcher. I think Realmuto would cost way too much. He'd probably cost you Huerta. I don't think you want to give that up for a catcher. I just don't think that's wise. I think Realmuto is a premier player, don't get me wrong, but I think you can find a better catcher or just find a better value at the catcher position, not necessarily a better catcher. I think Realmuto's top four, top five catcher in baseball, but he would probably inquire as hefty of a price as, say, like a guy like Mike Piazza did back in the day. Granted, trades are different and whatever, but you get my point. All right, wrapping up the podcast, I did want to mention a quick little, I guess, summer league take. summer league thoughts about what we've seen so far with the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, no Dante DiVincenzo. He's been battling a groin strain. That's a bummer. I know a lot of Bucks fans would have liked to see him out there. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's worth overreacting. I think if DiVincenzo was a one-and-done freshman or an international player where he hasn't really had game experience against a lot of these dudes, I mean, he's probably played against a bevy of these guys, whether it was an AAU before college or during college at his time at Villanova. I'm not really concerned that Dante DiVincenzo missed three pickup games. That's not concerning to me at all. So I think those takes are ones that are probably ones you can ignore. And that's how you maybe can spot a fraud on Bucks Twitter. The other thought is, you know, Christian Wood, nice story, but I can't like be like he's the future of this team. Like, I think he's a guy that if you could figure out a way to make him a two-way player, that'd be awesome. But you have a logjam right now at the center position. So if you do end up clearing some of that, maybe Christian Wood's a legitimate option. I think he's an interesting prospect because he's a young guy. I don't think he is a starting center by any means this year, but he's a very raw guy who could use a year of seasoning with the Wisconsin Herd, maybe a few call-ups here and there. Who knows? But he definitely has the ability to be a pretty good center. I think he's a guy that I'd be a little upset if the Bucks weren't able to retain, but it's a business, and if there's a team who's offering him a full contract, by all means, you got to take it. Sterling Brown and DJ Wilson have looked good. I think this, as Mitch sort of said on the Summer Jam over the weekend, go back and listen if you haven't, this sort of style fits what DJ Wilson's all about. Not a lot of defense, sort of open concept. You do like to see that he's playing well, especially since DJ really has been more about just being out on boats and hanging out than working out through social media. But I'm sure he's been getting that work. It definitely shows. And I do think that I wouldn't give up on DJ Wilson just yet. I think those people who have called him a bust are a little premature on that. I think we need to wait and see at least one or two more years before we can make that assumption. Sterling Brown also looked good. I think this is going to be a huge Sterling Brown year. I hope you're all ready for the Sterling Brown renaissance. I think Mike Budenholzer is going to love him. I think he is the type of player that fits Mike's system. I could definitely see Sterling Brown having a massive second year and potentially supplanting Tony Snell on that rotation. Granted, Snell is has a little more size, but who knows? Maybe. But Brown had 27 last night in a close loss to Denver. He's been playing really well in summer league. But like we said, you know, these games aren't indicative of these guys are going to have a good year. I just think Brown fits the makeup of what you want to see with Budenholzer. So that'll about do it for Daily Tap today. No Daily Tap tomorrow, as you will be getting a Tapping the Keg, the first Tapping the Keg in 2 weeks. Mitch and I will be back in the booth tonight to talk things over and talk about what we will for Wednesday. Then we will be back Thursday and in the mix. So talk to you guys then. Have a good one. Enjoy your Tuesday. See you, Tappers.